Welcome back to Writers' Voices. I'm Monica Hadley and my co-host, Chimane Montana, and we'd like to welcome another guest into our studio today, Alan Gompers.
Alan Gompers is a former musician, millionaire, master salesman, con man, drug dealer, convict, entrepreneur, benefactor, wise and revered meditation teacher. Alan Gompers has led an amazing life. His lifelong search for recognition, power, and love drove him to make and lose million-dollar fortunes, betray friends and family, and deal drugs, which ultimately brought him a 15-to-life prison sentence. It was in a maximum security prison that he finally found, deep within himself, what he had been seeking his entire life, the true meaning of freedom. Welcome, Alan. And welcome to Fairfield.
Yeah, it's great to be here live this time.
Yeah. You were on our show just a couple weeks ago, and so we're excited to welcome you in the flesh to Fairfield, Iowa.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So what do you think of our little town so far?
Well, I've been wandering around. You know, I went to 21st Century Books in Revelations, where I'm going to be doing some book signings today and tomorrow. And some eateries that were really sweet, nice, organic places that I love, and I love the whole ambiance of the city. It's really great, yeah.
And of course, you're here for our wonderful All Things Italian Art Walk.
Absolutely.
which is really great.
Yeah.
Why don't you mention the times of your readings and your other activities that you've got planned while you're here
tonight at 21st Century Books. I'll be doing a book. I'll be there from 7:30 to 10 o'clock at night. And tomorrow I'll be at Revelations between 2 and 4.
Upstairs?
Upstairs, yeah.
Okay.
The big room.
And Sunday is the big workshop, and it's being promoted everywhere. The Iowa Source has all kinds of wonderful promotional pieces on it, and it's all over the place. So I'm excited about that and hoping everybody's going to come. At the Mainstay Inn, between 2 and 5, 300 North Main Street, is it?
That sounds about right. Something, yeah, it's just north of the Sondheim Center,
yes.
The convention center.
Right.
Yeah. And Alan, you brought some guests into the studio with you today. Do you want to tell us who
well,
we've got here?
The resident in town is Bob Schrem, and he's been kind of like setting up a lot of stuff for us. And my friend from New York, Ed Argolia, who will be doing the movement and yoga part of the workshop on Sunday. And Paul, who came here all the way from...
outside of Albany, New York.
Albany,
Berkshire
New York.
County.
Berkshire County, yeah.
Wow.
And his wonderful lady, Vicky, who's out in the car, and she's from Massachusetts, is it?
Washington, Massachusetts, and Kansas City.
There you go.
Well, welcome all of you to Fairfield. This is fun, exciting. Well, Alan, can you give us a little overview of what you experienced in prison and how the book Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom came into being?
You got 15 to life?
That's all I've got, yeah. Time is all I've got.
Well, you know, it was, you know, it sounds a little out of the extraordinary to say that it was the turning point of my life and the greatest gift I've ever been given, but ultimately that's what it really was. And I carried these feelings inside me all my life about... loneliness, depression, and fear, which were my constant companions everywhere I went, in everything I did. And the incredible part of that is that it drove me. Those feelings drove me. They were fear-driven. And I didn't want to sit long enough in those feelings because I was too afraid. I didn't know how to deal with them. So it created an energy inside of me that made me want to go out into the world and just execute wherever that energy, and it was all over the place, but it was so strong and so powerful that whatever I did created a result. So if I went into business, it created success, extraordinary success. I owned a brokerage house on Wall Street that turned into one of the biggest in the country. I got into singing and making records, and we had extraordinary success with that. And relationships brought me every one that I really wanted, I got. You know, the energy was so powerful, it was like a pit bull. Couldn't let go. So it was like the outside was really showering me with all kinds of success and happiness and fun. And inside I was dying. Dying, literally dying. And the perception, the world's perception around me was, this guy is extraordinary. He's out of sight. You know, wow, everything he touches turns to gold. Everything he wants, he gets. He's fun to be around. He dances. He's alive. His energy is just fantastic. Nobody knew. I was very good at hiding inside. And the problem is always that when we are not in alignment with a true sense of ourself, what we do is we create a result that's not so nice. Karma, you know. You put stuff out, you get stuff back. And if you continue to put out negativity, like I was doing, even though it was getting results that were perceived as great, I was suffering on the other end of it. And ultimately, the intensity of those feelings continued to grow. And it got to a point where I was literally dying inside. And I had no way around it, didn't know what to do. Fortunately, I turned to drugs.
You know, you sound like you're a perfect candidate for the thank God I stories.
Well, you know, it's true. I think it's universally true that, you know, that, you know, you reach a point in life where you recognize when you have a real deep spiritual experience, I can't do it. I can't. It's not like I can't do it. It's like, I can't do it. The ego, the Alan Gompers, can't do it. He doesn't exist. The universe is one energy. There is no other. There is no Alan Gompers to do anything. And the more Alan Gompers tries, the more he creates the separation. That was the experience that I got. And it was, I mean, after that meditation experience in prison, after I got busted for drugs, so I said, thank God, it stopped the whole idea of trying to do it. Money, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Didn't work. I had everything the American dream is capable of getting. At least in my mind it was. And I'd run out of options. And what was left for me was to take away the pain through drugs. And of course, that works for a moment, and you're back, just like money, sex, and rock and roll, it doesn't work. And after a while, you come to the conclusion, I had a meditation experience in the yard, and prison yard, and when I opened my eyes again, my whole world was different.
Tell us a little bit about that, because it was a spontaneous meditation experience. You didn't know what you were doing. You just had the spontaneous awakening experience. Will you describe it a little bit?
Yeah, thank God I didn't know what I was doing. Because I would have continued to try to repeat it and create it. And of course, we can't. And, you know, if we keep... the young lady who was on before was talking about you can't hold on. And the more you hold on, the more the grace, the energy inside, is continuing to break through. And if you hold on, you create more and more tension, more and more pressure, more and more anxiety, more and more fear, until you can't hold on any longer. Ultimately, inevitably, it's always an act of grace. It's a question of how soon do you pick up and get in alignment with what is truly going on inside of you. I heard a beautiful description of that. If you watch a flower on a tree, a great sage once said, the petals don't fall off. The fruit behind it eases them off. As it evolves and it matures and it grows. There's that existence, that grace inside of us, constantly moving forward. The pain and suffering comes from our holding on to trying to stop it. And we can't. And if we continue to, the energy and the intensity of the experience will continue to grow until we no longer can, because the grace, the love, the joy is far superior to the fear, the anger, and all of the depression that we try to hold on to without knowing it. Yeah.
So in this moment in the yard, you were overcome with negative emotions and a situation that you couldn't do anything about. And then you had this experience of surrender, after which you opened your eyes and the world never looked the same again? Or did you go in and out?
Well, you know, it's... I walked into that prison yard, and I tell you, I was scared to death. There's 2,000 inmates out there, all lifers. Most of, I'm never in prison before. I'm a nice little Jewish boy from the Bronx,
yeah,
you know?
You're not a great big guy.
No. And I never did anything really bad in my life. Listen to my ego tell the story, and you believe anything. But there I was, scared out of my mind, and all the thing was, I'm seeing in my mind's eye is life. That's all I hear. I have 15 to life. I didn't even know what that really meant. But the word life was like the most powerful mantra of fear that I could have ever imagined in my life. This is it. My money's gone. My wife's with another man. My business collapsed. My children seem like from another lifetime. And what I'm living with, these screaming emotions inside of me of fear. I mean, fear at a level, if there is a hell, that was it. I can't give you that experience, but I can tell you, for me, it was death itself. And at that point, I broke down running around a track to try to, like, do something. And tears just started, an emotion started pouring out of me like a volcano. I wound up sitting down in the corner of a prison yard. My eyes closed, and my legs just crossed. I had no idea what I was doing. Never meditated before, didn't know what meditation was. And I fell into this profound state of meditation. I didn't know what was happening. Except that when I got up, it was about a half an hour later, I looked around me and it was like a Walt Disney fantasy land. The sun was bouncing off inmates' heads as they walked around, off the gun towers. The world, the air seemed crystal clear, you know. And you know, the thing was, ladies, that I just know now, so it was so important to me that I realized in that moment, there was an epiphany. It was called Shaktipat, you know, the scent of grace that happened. That's the way the Eastern scriptures and my meditation teacher described it. And I was seeing the world for the first time without eyes contracted with fear. Mm. So what I saw wasn't a limited version of reality. It was, in fact, the way the world really was. And even though it was in a prison yard, even though there were gun towers, even though I had 15 to life, even though my wife was still with another man, I didn't get a reduction in sentence, everything was all there. My heart opened. And what, you know, what's in the heart is love, is compassion, is insight, is wisdom, is all kinds of wonderful stuff. It started flowing up inside me. And I'm sitting there on the ground, and I tell you this, the world I was seeing looked perfect and exquisitely beautiful. And I knew that was the way it truly was. I just never seen it before. And inside of me, I was feeling happier, more peaceful and free than I ever knew existed.
How does it feel when you see so much of our world still caught in that fear, and particularly in, you know, the past 8 years of our political situation in our country, where it seemed like everything was, that all the decisions being made were based on fear, and the opposite of what you're talking about, and the opposite of true security. How did you feel about that, and did you want to try and change that?
I have to be, I don't want to be cute or arrogant about this. But it's really not about me trying to change anything. Because I can't. I can't change you. I can have the greatest intentions in the world in trying to change you, and I can offer my heart and my love to you. But that's where I got to leave it. Because it's grace that does the changing. It's that energy moving the flower off the tree that changes. That's the energy. We'd be 23 years old forever if the ego had anything to say about it. But the Shakti, the grace, God's grace inside of us, continues to age this body, regardless of what we do. And regardless of what we say and what we want and what we desire in this life for other people, we can't do anything that can transform their lives. What we can do is to share our experience and offer the possibility and the tools we've been given by the great masters for them to use to go deeper inside themselves. And that's where transformation takes place. And my teacher, my mentor, used to say to me all the time, Alan, we used to go into prisons, and I still do, to bring meditation to the men, and loved doing it. Love gave me such great joy inside. And he said, you don't go into prison to change the inmates. How arrogant that is. You go into prison to share your life and do your spiritual work. And the grace, when you get out of the way, will transform their lives. So when you're totally free of the fear, the anxiety, the hatred, the anger, you become a vehicle. You don't become the doer. You become the channel, so to speak, to use words, you know, they're just words. But it's actually an experience that flows through you, and you have nothing to do with it. But the experience comes through you first and always. So your life gets transformed whether anything or anyone really, really wants to take it or is ready to hear it at that moment in time. The minute you put a desire, a motive, an expectation on it, you stop the flow. You cut it off. Now you're feeling pain and suffering.
So I want our listeners to get the thumbnail sketch of what happened. So you discovered a meditation teacher and practice while in prison through a program where teachers came to you, right? And then after you got out of prison, you started doing that work yourself. So you go to prisons and you teach meditation workshops like you're doing in Fairfield this weekend.
Right. Anywhere to let this little guy go.
Can you tell us a little bit about the content of what you teach?
Yeah, again, the key thing is the workshop this Sunday, which I'm really excited about, is dealing with the ultimate way to freedom. And that's addressing the one limitation, which is not real, by the way, but it's the one we experience in the ego and mind body, and that is fear. And my teacher always used to say the other side of freedom, the other side of fear is freedom. Mm-hmm. And it is not until we stand firm and welcome that fear in whatever form it comes into our lives, we will always be separated from love and from freedom itself. So we have to address it. We have to have the courage. That's what true courage is, facing your fear. You know, and I talk about that.
Courage isn't not being unafraid.
No, it's about about the ability to face what it is you are afraid of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's beautifully said. That's absolutely true. And, you know, in the workshop, what I'm going to be working with are deep, you know, the spiritual masters all used, you know, meditation was key for them, but their life during the 24 hours was to be in contemplation. To take the words, the issues, and the understandings and concepts that we work with, fear, love, freedom, all of this stuff, and take the words and really contemplate them at deeper and deeper and deeper levels until they reveal the true essence of what they really mean. Otherwise, Jesus would have been a cannibal. Eat of my body and drink of my blood. I mean, if you want to take that literally, go right ahead. But I doubt very much that's what he meant.
Yeah.
And, you know, these scriptures, east and west and north and south, need to be contemplated. What is the essence of what they mean at the deepest level? That's where the truth is, and that's the truth that sets us free.
You're listening to Writer's Voices, and our guest today is Alan Gompers, author of Maximum Security, The True Meaning of Freedom. Alan will be doing a reading at 21st Century this evening.
Book signing.
Heart Walk, a book signing. Also at Revelations tomorrow afternoon, and then a workshop at the Mainstay Inn on Sunday. Now, Alan, you describe after your awakening some ups and downs, and that learning to keep your peace no matter what was happening wasn't an overnight process. Did you ever feel that the return of depression or anxiety was worse after you experienced such elevated states of consciousness because of the contrast? I mean, did you have some really down periods or after your original awakening?
That's a great question. And I know the best way that I can answer that is that my mentor was a Catholic priest. He had been in the been a Dominican monk for 20 years, and he then became a meditation yogi. And started following around this meditation master, and he used to come into prison all the time. He became my mentor, and I'm the dearest, most wonderful being I've ever known in my life. And I wrote about him also, Father Tom. One day after 2 years, I mean 2 years, of uninterrupted, absolute joy beyond any belief I could have. I mean, it was every moment I was ecstatic. I mean, and silent. I didn't speak at all. First, I didn't want to throw a ripple into that at all. Mm. And then after about 2 years, some of the old stuff used to start to come up. A letter came from home, and that didn't feel so good, or some of the inmates were making fun of me, or whatever. They used to call me the yogurt man for meditating out in the prison yard. And whatever it is, some of the old tapes came up, and he came up to visit me one day, and I said, Tom, I said, I'm really concerned. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem like the Shakti's with me anymore, that grace is with me anymore. He said to me, Alan, are you meditating every day? And I said, Tom, more than ever before. I've kind of doubled down. And he looked at me in the eye, and it wasn't his words, it was his presence, his conviction, his love, his knowledge and wisdom. He said, as long as you meditate every day, everything will happen exactly the way it should. And he went, swaha. It's okay. And you know, when I went back, I felt the energy come back again. And you know, every time now, even now in my life, when stuff happens, I always remember that. And I always know that I have a choice to access that state again and again and again. And it's in me. It is me. And I don't have to be afraid or worried about getting up in my head and losing it for a minute, because I always know through meditation, through awareness, I can come back.
Yeah. Well, Alan, before we run out of time, would you like to read a section from Maximum Security?
My pleasure.
Great.
I chose a section this time. It was the very beginning of that awakening and the impact it had after I had received that spiritual awakening, Shaktipat. And this is kind of the beginning of my book. And it goes, it is a cloudless afternoon in the autumn. I am an inmate, number 88-2139, in Eastern New York Correctional Facility, a maximum security prison outside Napanac, New York. Hundreds of inmates are out in the prison yard. The yard is huge. Probably 4 to 5 acres surrounding the whole complex is an immense concrete wall with 4 equidistant gun towers on top. Some of the inmates, like me, stroll around in the sunshine. Others shoot hoops, lift weights, or play cards. A few groups huddle around the outdoor television sets, screaming obscenities as they watch a football game. A dozen or so lie on the patchy ground, watching joggers circle the track. At the far end of the yard, a few guys hit softballs and run around a baseball diamond. I find some empty bleachers where I can be alone to enjoy the beautiful weather. Climbing to the top, I sit down, close my eyes, turn my face to the sun. The seat vibrates underneath me. The rumbling stops, and a voice breaks the stillness, and I open my eyes. An inmate is sitting a few feet away, unaware of my presence, and he is ranting and raving to himself. I catch the gist of what he's saying. He's going to be released in a few weeks, and the first thing he plans to do is settle up with a whole lot of people who wronged him. The lawyer who misrepresented him, the judge who sentenced him, the wife who betrayed him. His face is contorted with anger and bitterness. I can feel the waves of his negative energy as vividly as the vibrations in the bleachers underneath me. How can he be so unhappy when he's getting out, I ask myself. This guy is about to get his freedom back. Shouldn't he be more optimistic and grateful? I listen to his raving and realize that whether he is inside or outside, nothing will change for him. He will take his prison experience out into the world in the form of his rage and resentment. I understand, for most of my life, I too have lived on an emotional roller coaster, unconscious of everything going on around me, aware only of my own dissatisfaction. We are both unwilling inhabitants of a community of 1,000 men whose lives are defined by limitations and constraints. We live inside the same walls, under the same gun towers. My wife, like his, is with another man. My livelihood and money are gone. My children seem part of a different lifetime. This man is getting out in a few weeks, but I must serve 13 more years before I even get a chance to see the parole board. There is a possibility that I will spend the rest of my life here. Under the circumstances, I should be as miserable as this guy. And yet, as I sit here in these bleachers, I am happier and more at peace than I've ever been, more than I ever imagined was possible. I am aware of a profound calm emanating from deep inside me, one that brings with it a sense of joy and contentment. I am glad to be alive, grateful for the gift of a beating heart. I have found freedom. I have learned that true freedom flows uninterruptedly deep inside every human being, an internal, eternal river of serenity, independent of all worldly things, and available to everyone, all the time, regardless of outer circumstances. And I found this behind the walls of a maximum security prison.
Beautiful.
It was a very powerful beginning to the book.
Yeah.
And last time you read a section from the end of the book.
That's right.
If listeners want to hear that interview, it was a couple weeks ago, and it's up on KRUUFM.com, Writers' Voices Archives.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us here in the studio, Alan. And I hope you enjoy your stay in Fairfield.
Thank you.
And have a very successful workshop.
I'm glad I could put the faces to the voices.